Grape.
Can I tell you something horrible that just happened to me?
Yeah.
I spilled some water on my shirt. Anytime I'm in public or anytime I'm around people, if I spill water anywhere on my clothing, my first thought is, shit, they're going to think I pissed on myself. It doesn't matter that the water is on my tummy.
I mean, as soon as you told me that you spilled water on yourself, I was like, oh, trying to, like, cover up the fact that he peed on himself. Wow, that's a lot of pee, Jesse.
Yeah, well, the thing is, my penis curves up. Gravity has no claims to me.
1, 2, 3, 4, go!
Falling in love is such an easy thing to do. Girls can do it, yeah. Bees can do it, yeah. Let's stop talking, yeah. Let's get to it.
Understandable! Understandable! So, that was from Chicago. Sorry, you were talking about some nonsense. I was trying to talk about, like, real stuff, like the hit musical Chicago.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay, just don't let it happen again, please.
Alright, sounds good. I'm in my COVID era.
Ooh. I don't know how that can be possible when it doesn't exist, but, you know.
Yeah. It's my first time getting it.
Oh, wow. Way to hold strong.
Have you had it?
No, not confirmed ever. I've taken, like, 17 COVID tests when I've been near people, but never gotten it.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is my first time. I was kind of expecting to not get it, but then those two lines showed up.
And to be clear, we're talking about the two lines that you did in the club bathroom the night you got COVID, right?
I was talking about the two lines on the pregnancy test. Jesse, you are going to be a father.
Hell yes. That makes me a little worried about the cocaine you were doing, but other than that...
It's fine. I'm drinking a Chianti right now.
What's a Chianti?
I think it's a kind of wine.
Really? It's not the guy from The Matrix?
I've never seen The Matrix, so that joke didn't land. Know your audience.
You should watch The Matrix. It's really good. No. I've never seen it, but I've heard it's really good.
I hate all movies. Popular, you know, famously.
And I've never seen a bad movie. Everyone I watch, I'm like, this is the best thing I've seen in my life. Did you see that? There were pictures moving on the screen. Holy shit, that train almost hit me. I'm trying to get back into it. Just one second. Talk to me. Hi. I know, you should miss me. I am in the middle of recording the podcast right now, just so you know. Hey, do you want to say hi? Okay, I'm going to put you on speaker. Say hi to the people.
Hello, people.
Okay. Have a blessed eve. I'll talk to you later. Sorry about that.
Who was that?
Oh, just a person. No, that's my friend, Brian.
Oh, okay.
He knows about the podcast and listens from time to time, so I'm like, oh, I'll just take this.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No disrespect or anything.
No, I feel extremely disrespectful.
As you should. That was actually a real dick move, but, you know.
No, it's fine. Anyway, I turned 25 on Sunday.
What are you going to do?
I'm having a party.
Ooh. An invite would have been nice.
I have the receipts. You were invited. You said I'll be in Wisconsin, so an invite to Wisconsin would have been nice for my birthday.
Nah.
But I'm gonna have a small gathering.
That sounds really fun.
Monday, Chloe and I are gonna get in our hammocks and we're gonna read all day.
Yeah, you are.
Don't be gross about it.
What? Like, I'm excited. I think it's really cool that you're going to do that.
Yeah, but you're acting weird.
My head's in a fog. What? No, shame on you. Yeah. Aaron is making lewd gestures because they know that you can't see them, and people will assume I'm making shit up.
This podcast will never become a video podcast.
When's the last time you gargled salt water?
Probably like a month or two ago.
Okay.
Why?
I've been doing that frequently lately.
So, hot girl shit, if you ask me. So, do you want to get into this? I don't know how much of that was usable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you didn't really ask about my week at all, but yeah.
Well, I was literally just about, if you hadn't cut me off, I would have said, do you want to tell me anything about what you've been doing?
If I hadn't cut you off, you would have looked like a really kind, concerned friend.
Yeah.
And I can't have that. I need to be the good guy here. All that to say, I got nothing. I might be changing career paths soon, so that's exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting.
But no, nothing really exciting has happened this week. It's been a lot of working. No, it hasn't been a lot of working. I worked like 2 days, but it's been a lot of...
No, you know what? The internal work never stops.
For me, it does. I refuse to grow as a person or to work on myself, so it actually stops before it even starts, even.
Gotcha.
Just kidding. I have therapy tomorrow to work on myself.
All right. Welcome to Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name is Aaron.
My name's Jesse.
Today we're going to be covering season 4, episode 2, Another One Opens.
Did you notice, like, the first 4 episodes of the season are just various door phrases?
Yeah, next one is when opportunity knocks, and then the one after is, like, 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that. This episode was directed by Anson Williams, written by Brenda Hampton, the devil incarnate.
Mm.
It aired to 2.71 million viewers on June 20th, 2011. I have really good biblical context.
Oh, I love that.
So it's from the New York Times. It's from the blog section.
Amazing. Love that.
Which I'm assuming is from the NewYorkTimes.com. And it's this is by Robert Mackey. And it says, man turns to crime for prison health care. An unemployed man in North Carolina robbed a bank of $1 this month and waited for the police, hoping to take advantage of the free medical care in prison.
Honestly, respect. I hate to say it. We love a scammer.
Yeah. Can you even call that? I mean, that's the hustle, right?
That is.
I have mad respect for this guy.
Yeah. And I have mad respect for the brave officers who brought this dangerous criminal in.
That's too far, Jesse.
You know what else is too far? Biden's radical agenda. It's too far left.
What's it called? He wants to forgive student debt, but only 10K. That's awesome. Great.
Fucking communist.
Yeah. I personally don't ever want to be able to buy a house. I think landlords are very ethical, and I can't wait to keep renting forever because I can't afford a down payment on a house.
Well, all you have to do is just sleep with one, and then you're kind of in for free.
A landlord or a house?
Both.
Well, I've been sleeping with a house, let me tell you.
Oh, I've been sleeping with a landlord. Not my landlord, unfortunately, so it hasn't really done anything for me, but...
Mm. Are you sleeping with Dax Shepard?
Kristen doesn't know yet. We haven't figured out how to tell her.
That's so funny because I'm sleeping with Kristen and Monica Padman.
Oh, Monica's been kind of... She hasn't been sleeping with us, but she's been kind of there. It's been a little uncomfortable, but I don't know how to address. Oh, for sure. You know, the second biggest podcast in the world after us, Armchair Expert.
Anyway, okay, What's your biblical context?
I'm glad you asked. Mine's from the Daily Mail. Lost actress.
Incredible source.
With a great headline. Lost actress Evangeline Lilly to star in The Hobbit, parentheses. Well, she did date one for 5 years, end parentheses.
Who's the Hobbit that she dated?
I don't know.
Huh.
Wow,
what a catty little thing.
Dominic Monaghan?
Cool. This podcast has disintegrated.
I think this week we're both not feeling great, and that's kind of affecting our energy. The show itself has also gotten so irredeemably bad.
It's so horrible.
I will say, I listened to last week's episode, and I think it's one of the most fun ones I've heard in a while.
Yeah, I think we did a great job with it.
I think not enough people are talking about this, but I think we're actually the best podcasters in the game.
Somebody did DM us on Instagram and said, I'm putting off listening to Harry's new album to listen to this first. And I was like, whoa, shut the fuck up. That's huge.
I love when people reach out to us and tell us stuff. Like,
I love when people tell us stuff.
I love when people say things to and around me.
Do you like this, like, view of my armpit you're getting?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I'm gonna put my arm down. I'm feeling insecure about that.
Hey.
So.
You are beautiful no matter what they say. Words can bring you down.
We begin this episode at Leo's house. I hate everything about this episode, yo.
It's bad. Leo just hates his wife, which is cool.
It's literally worse than the book that I'm reading. So, Leo is sitting at his desk and he pulls out an old picture of him and his old wife that he keeps in a drawer, which feels weird to me. I feel like if your wife died, it would be okay for you to, like, have a picture of you. Yes.
Don't you remember? This is what Ken Fields told him to do when he was trying to fix his marriage to Betty. He was like, you're still holding on to Sarah, I guess. So then Leo took that picture and shoved it in a drawer so he could fully focus on Betty.
Okay, I do remember it now that you say it.
Am I the only one watching this show?
It does make sense why I blocked it out.
Yeah,
Ken
I'm
Fields.
Sometimes hot men are bad. Don't you dare tell me that man isn't hot.
I'm not gonna tell you anything.
No one should tell me anything ever.
That's true.
If I don't know it by now, I don't need to.
Betty walks in and he shoves the picture back in the drawer. And she's like, I know you miss her. I feel bad for you and Ben. I feel even worse for Adrian. Betty says that she might go and try to see if she can cheer Adrian up tomorrow. And Leo's like, yeah, I feel bad for Adrian too, but I'm really feeling bad for Ben. Okay.
Yeah, cool. You know, because Adrian's obviously, like, really, really suffering and hurting a lot, and Ben's kind of just, like, doinking around like a cartoon character, so I don't get how you could have more pity for him, but whatever.
Yeah. Leo tells Betty to go to bed.
E?
And she's like, why don't you come to bed with me? I bet I can get your mood up.
Not just his mood.
His wood.
His morning wood. But at the wrong time of day.
Then he admits to Betty that he's, like, got a lot of work to do because Camille quit. He's like, I got business to take care of. And that business is putting a hit out on Camille.
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if she showed up in the river.
Yeah.
But then Betty's like, oh, if Camille's gone, I'm gonna be your assistant. And then Leo's like, oh, actually, I just made it seem like you visiting Adrian would be a horrible idea, but I think it would actually be better for you to, I don't think you're going to do well, but I think you should fuck up a grieving woman's day instead of having me having to spend any more time with you.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. This is what I said. I said, that's nice of you to offer, but I can't cheat on my wife with my secretary if my secretary is my wife.
That's so true. That's really, that's, I think that is the crux of the situation.
Yeah. And then he basically is like, if you want to help me, the best thing you woman can do is take care of my son.
Yeah.
I always forget you're a misogynist.
How? I literally became gay so I didn't have to talk to women.
Leo acts like considerate Betty is the worst thing that ever happened to him.
No, Leo just hates Betty, and I think that really sucks. She deserves so much better. Jennifer Coolidge deserves so much better.
Yeah. I love Jennifer Coolidge. She says she thinks that attractive people are overrated.
Okay.
I'll have to send you the video of her talking about that.
Please do.
So, Ben arrives home. Okay, so we're switching scenes. Ben arrives home at his condo. He sees Adrian. She's, like, sitting outside on their little, like, patio thing.
Yeah, like, good job. Get some fresh air, girly. You deserve it.
Yeah, she's looking up at the sky, and she's like, where do you think she is? And she's kind of, like, thinking about, like, the afterlife, life after death. And Ben is like, can you stop that? And she's like, no, I can't. And Ben's like, I like to think of, like, everyone who has died as, like, taking care of us and looking down on us. And she's like, but who's taking care of her? Like, she's just a baby. That literally...
Just an innocent baby.
That was heartbreaking.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, we have different reactions to that, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, Adrian is having similar thoughts. She's thinking about the afterlife. And Ben says that his mom is probably taking care of their baby. And he's like, you're my wife. I have to take care of you. Let's go inside. She says, I love you, Ben. And he says, I love you too, Adrian. And she says, Amy moved in with Ricky. And he's like, is that why you're so upset? And she's like, no, I'm upset because I lost my baby.
Losing the baby. That's what upset me.
But Ben is, you know, whatever. Psychotic. We go to the theme song. Jesus Christ. Can they, like, take a hint?
What? You don't think that fit tonally?
No.
Really?
No.
That's unfortunate. What did you pick for an alternative theme?
Honestly, I did not pick a song for an alternative theme.
Okay, no worries.
Did you?
I did. I picked the hit song Butterfly Kisses by Bob Carlyle.
Oh, I've never heard that song before.
Haven't you ever been to a Christian wedding?
Yeah, but...
Oh, it's like the daddy-daughter dance song. I'm actually really disappointed that you don't know it.
I'm sorry.
But specifically for the batshit insane conversation between George and Amy later.
I'm gonna pick a Julian Baker song. I love her. I'm gonna pick probably Faith Healer. From her newest album,
Little Oblivions. That's a great song.
It is a great song. It's a great album. Absolutely devastating.
I found it full of hope and joy.
Okay, we go from the theme to the Juergens house. George is, like, getting ready for some kind of, like, kitchen renovation project. Anne walks in with Robbie.
Yeah, Molly Ringwald's done with whatever project was keeping her away from the set.
Yeah, auditioning for Riverdale or whatever.
That is, people don't realize they assembled the cast for Riverdale 5 years before it aired.
Right, yeah.
That's why it's such a perfect show.
Yeah, it's so great. The house, we find out that the house is Anne's. George got the business in the divorce, and Anne got the house.
But now Anne's running the business, and George is living alone in the house.
Yeah.
One or both of their lawyers should be fired.
Yeah, and George is like, well, I haven't figured out what I'm going to do with the kitchen yet. And she's like, well, before you do anything with it, like, can you give me a plan? And George is like, I thought Robbie and I could do it together. Your child is, like, a year.
I mean, I started building at 6 months. I built my own crib and a rocking chair. And by chair, I did mean horse.
Rocking horse.
Yeah.
Not like you didn't build like a fucking full ass horse.
I did that as well. But that's only because my father was Poseidon.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, Anne's like puts an end to this project. She hands Robbie off and then she like goes to leave and she's like, are you good? Like, you seem off. And he's like, well, Amy moved in with Ricky. And then he starts talking about, like, what's bothering him. And Anne's like, I actually don't have time for this. Let me look at my watch.
Honestly, respect.
We find out Ashley did not call yesterday. She only texted Anne. But then as Anne leaves, she calls the house. And George is like, you call every night, no matter how late or how early. That's the rules. Tell me the other rules. Do you want to hear these rules?
I would love to hear these rules.
Okay, let me find it. Okay. Okay, sorry. The script for this episode is not good. Okay. The rules are we have to stay in the same room, separate beds, no sex, no drugs, no alcohol, no driving after 9 p.m. Don't let the gas tank get below half a tank. No speeding, no tornado chasing, no hanging my arms or feet out the window. Toby's not allowed to pee on the side of the road, and I'm not allowed to go to the restroom at truck stops. Should I keep going?
When does she pee? Is she allowed to pee on the side of the road?
She has ascended to the next plane. She doesn't need to pee.
She just has a catheter.
Hey, it's efficient.
I have three.
So
one for each, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying. So
you got the pee hole.
Yeah.
You got the poo hole.
Yeah.
And you got the third hole, if you know what I'm saying.
What is your third hole?
My belly button.
All right.
Nothing comes out of there, but it just likes to feel included.
So, we find out they're, like, only a couple hours away. They're in, like, they stopped and fed some donkeys yesterday. They hang up. Toby and Ashley start arguing about if they should take the freeway or, like, old Route 66. And she's like, well, just figure out how to get on the freeway. Like, my dad thinks we're moving too slow. And Toby's like, well, so do I.
Is that all this trip is going to be? Double entendres about sex?
Yeah.
I could not care less about Ashley and what's his name. I don't even know the guy's name.
Toby?
Sure. Yeah. Why did I think it was Gabe? Who the fuck is Gabe?
So we go back to the Jergens kitchen. Amy comes in. There's a discussion about her living at the apartment. George is like upset and he says that living together unmarried is very low class. And he says that they won't work out if she moves in without any kind of commitment.
Which, like, also, don't they have a commitment? Like, they're fully dating and they have a child together. I feel like that's a commitment.
It's kind of a commitment. We find out John is fully two. Like, we skipped his birthday this year. It wasn't as big of a deal.
Well, Amy had a secret party for him, so that's why we didn't get to take part in this one. Also, wasn't John born at the end of the school year?
Who the fuck knows?
So then how are they still in school for a while yet?
Who knows? So, Amy is talking to George. She says, like, we're young but mature. We're happy. Please let us be happy. And then he hallucinates, like, little Amy and tells her that the door is always open. If it doesn't work out, the door is always open.
But what, like, if it does work out?
Is the door still open? I love you, Dad.
I love you, Daddy.
Anyway, weird.
That was such a wild... Like, what was the... This show loves to dip into magical realism.
It does.
But only when Amy's involved. This is honestly on par with Ben's mental break where he was hallucinating Amy for a whole day.
So, we go to Adrian's condo. She's on a video call with Grace. Grace is doing kind of like an emotional check-in, and Adrian is trying to, like, she's currently trying to figure out why Mercy died, and Grace is like, it'll be okay, you just need time. Yes.
What was Megan Park shooting that all of a sudden she's in Africa?
Who knows? Maybe they just didn't want to pay everyone.
Yeah. I swear, every season, a different woman is only reachable by video call. This season, there's two.
Yeah. Well, it is only the second episode, too. Maybe she had COVID.
Oh, that's true. This is how they did their work from home episodes.
Yeah. So, Adrian is... Okay, so Grace says it'll be okay. You just need time. And Adrian's like, thank you. No one seems to understand that. And Grace is like, well, maybe, like, going back to the real world is what you might need. Like, figure out how to, like, live your life in a way that would honor her instead of just, like, taking this time as a huge, like, break to honor her. And Adrian is like, what? Like, volunteering in Africa? And then she, like, hangs up on Grace.
What were your thoughts on this?
I don't know. I have no thoughts.
Okay, cool.
I'm just here to do the reporting.
Oh. Okay.
I'm an objective reporter.
Oh, and I'm a conscientious objector. If we go to war, I'm stepping back.
So,
when we go to war with the armchairs, I'll like cheer from the side, but I will conscientiously object.
Adrian and Ben fight a little bit about whatever. What's upsetting her. He's like, your friends don't seem to be good friends. Then she leans in to kiss him, and he, like, fully avoids her and kisses her cheek.
Yeah, he's like, your two best friends don't seem to know how to be your true best friends. First of all, Amy, like, just started hanging out with Adrian. Second of all, Ben's been shit support, and he immediately... Because Adrian's like, no one knows how to be my friend, and then... Ben's like, what about me? And she's like, of course not you. And then she leans in for the kiss, and then he kisses her cheek. So he curves her after being all insecure and needy.
Yeah.
I just don't think Adrian should have to deal with him as well.
No, he's so fucking annoying. So, Leo calls Ben. So he walks into the kitchen. He gets a call. Okay, so Ben and Adrian fight, whatever. He walks into the kitchen. He gets a call from Leo. Leo's like, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. Camille quit. And Ben's like, what? She's like your second wife.
How did we never see Camille until like 3 episodes ago if she's been this important part of their life this whole time?
Her fee is incredible.
Well, the thing is, she's got that new Adventures of Old Christine money. She's not coming cheap.
So,
Was she already there? Never mind.
So, Ben says she's like your second wife. And Leo's like, nah, she's replaceable. I can replace her.
Just like your current wife, am I right?
And then they fight over where Betty is going to go, because Leo's like, well, here's the thing. Betty wants to come to work with me, but I was thinking, what if, you know, she came and visited Adrian? Ben's like, for the love of God, no.
Which is crazy, because everything we know about Betty at this point is that she's very fun to be around. She has a surprising amount of empathy, and she loves Adrian.
Yeah.
So before seeing what happens, I was like, why wouldn't you want Betty there?
Ben closes out this phone call by being like, Amy moved in with Ricky. And Leo just goes, so?
Very funny.
Yeah. We move over to the Bowman house. Grace and Kathleen are now video chatting, and Grace is like kind of recapping that she said the wrong thing to Adrian. And she's like, can you go see her? And Kathleen's like, no, that's weird if I do that. We find out Grace wants to extend her trip, and that Jeff said that she could go with him to like wherever he's going next. And then Kathleen's like, great, I'm going to have to talk to Jeff about that. And then Jack comes in, and he's like, oh, Grace, I talked to Grant. He said it's totally fine. Like, it shouldn't be a problem that I'm moving. And Grace is like, what? We find out Kathleen hasn't told Grace yet. Grace gets upset about Jack moving into the regular house. And Kathleen does the mom thing where she goes, Grace, don't make that face. It's unattractive.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Then we go to the high school. Ricky comes in and he's like super weird and like control-y about Amy's dad finding out that they moved in together. She lies about how he found out. They kiss.
Relationship wiki is kind of the worst.
Honestly. And also, why are you trying to hide the fact that, like, you're living with George's daughter?
Like, how are you going to hide that fact? Like, aren't they eventually going to notice that she's just never been home?
Yeah. So then they kiss. They say, I'll see you at home, blah, blah, blah. All right, commercial break. We come back to the school. Ben and Ricky interact in the hallway, and Ben's like, I need to talk to your girlfriend. And Ricky's like, she's literally not my property. If you want to talk to her, go fucking talk to her.
Which is both powerful and kind of directly in conflict with the way he's been acting.
Yeah. And then Ben is like, I'm mad that Amy told Adrian they moved in together. Like, everyone is oblivious to how much pain she's in. And then they, like, move the conversation outside.
Which, Ben, if you were actually talking to your wife, you'd realize that she, like, kind of wants to be talked to, like, a real person.
Yeah.
And, like, you're trying to isolate all of her feelings, while also, like, trying to push her to be normal is not helping. You're the one who's oblivious to how she's feeling.
Yeah. We go to... So they move the conversation outside, and Ricky is like, listen, I think you're the one who's upset, not Adrian. And it's because you went out of this marriage. But let me tell you, like, when Amy got pregnant, I didn't want to be with her. But, like, just wait it out. Try for the enemies to friends to lovers trope. Mm. Like, you might feel differently in a year or two. You might have gotten married for the wrong reasons, but you can stay together for the right reasons. And then Ben is just literally the devil himself. He says, but if I leave Adrian, you'll have no other choice but to sleep with her because she'll be even sadder. And you'll feel even more sorry for her.
You may have changed, but not that much. What the fuck, Ben?
Yeah.
He's just, this is his villain arc, 100%.
Yeah, do you mean his villain arc that started during the pilot?
Yes.
When he decided that Amy was a good starter girlfriend?
We don't talk about that plot point enough.
Then we go to Madison and Jack. They're also in the hallway. They fight about Jack moving into Grace's house. And then he's like, listen, it's only going to be a little bit. Then I'm going to go to Arizona. And then I'm going to go to probably, then I'm off to college. And she's like, well, did you decide where you're going to go to college? And he's like, probably Arizona. I miss my parents. I want to live with them and go to school. And she's like, oh my goodness, you're going to be so far away. And he's like, well, you can come to Arizona when you graduate next year. And she's like, oh, okay.
She does such a complete 180.
Yeah.
It takes nothing to convince her. Like, all he has to do is say, like, oh, I'm still thinking about you. And she's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Then we go to the bathroom with Lauren and Amy. Amy is talking to Lauren about how she lied to Ricky. And Lauren's like, okay, well, just, like, come clean. Like, it'll be easy. And Amy's like, well, we just moved in together. And Lauren's like, okay, well, do whatever you want to do, whatever. Ricky knocks on the door and comes into the girls' bathroom. Lauren looks at Amy and goes, do it. And then leaves. That's totally inconspicuous.
Yeah. I love it.
And Ricky tells Amy, he's like, I'm going to go see your dad right now. Like, I want to clear the air. And Amy has the opportunity to come clean about, like, who actually told her dad that they were living together. And she's like, Ricky, I asked you to leave it alone. Just leave it alone. And then Ricky's like, well, I gave you the chance to come clean. And, like, you didn't do it. I told you if you told Adrian that we were moving in together, we would have a problem. Now we have a problem.
I can't bring myself to care about this episode.
No, not at all. So
everything is a non-issue, except for the real issues, which are treated like non-issues.
Yeah. Then we go to a commercial break, I'm assuming, and we come back and we're at the butcher shop. It's like at closing time. This dialogue is wild. Do you want to do it? I'm trying to find it on this fucking website.
That's it.
Okay.
What's the website called again?
I'm just gonna, it's not on transcripts.foreverdreaming.net or .org. Or
that's really hard for me. Do you think they'll sponsor us?
No. We talk a lot of shit about them. Okay. Okay. We're gonna have to remember who said what, because it doesn't have characters.
Amazing.
Okay. Do you want to be Ricky or do you want to be Amy?
Who would you prefer to be?
I don't care.
I haven't been Ricky in a while.
All right, you can be Ricky.
Hey, Amy. Hey there, John. Come here. How was your day, buddy? My day wasn't that great either. I asked your mom not to do something and she did it anyway. Then she lied about it.
Don't tell him bad stuff about me. I don't tell him bad stuff about you.
No?
No, I don't.
Sorry, that was my way of trying to get an apology.
You baited me, Ricky. You knew I lied, and then you set me up to lie again.
Oh, so it's my fault?
No, it's my fault. And if you don't want to live with a liar, then I'll go home. I'm sure my dad would be very happy for John and me to be home again.
This is your home.
Oh, I wasn't sure.
Come on, you're sure.
I'm sorry, okay? I don't know why I told her. I just told her.
Okay. I'm sorry, too. About beating you. Let's go home.
Just like that?
Yeah, let's go home.
You're not even upset with me?
It's over, okay?
That's it.
The way this conflict comes to a head and then immediately resolves with nothing changed.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, Ricky's like, oh, no, I wasn't actually seriously being, like, really possessive and weird. Like, this is all fine.
Yeah.
Hey.
So, then we go to Ben and Allison Henry in his old room. He's ranting about Ricky, and Amy, and he's like, he just wants sex. He doesn't actually want to marry Amy. He doesn't want to be with her. He just wants to fuck her. And then he's like, ah, isn't this so nice? It's just like old times, the three of us. And they're like, yeah, just like old times.
Alice and Henry look like they're ready to pull the fire alarm so they can get the fuck out.
Yeah, and then Henry, like, starts a thing where he's like, hey, I was just, like, wondering, like, I know it's kind of early, but... And Ben's like, do I think I'm gonna stay in this marriage? Fuck no.
This bitch is too sad!
Yeah. And he says... Okay, so Henry says, Ben, you know, Alice and I were wondering, is it too soon to ask if, and Ben cuts him off and goes, if Adrian and I are going to stay together? You know, yesterday I wouldn't have had an answer for you, but today I do. Look, I got married because I had to get married. And no, I don't want to be married. I just can't get out of it. Not right now, anyway. You know, I want to, but it wouldn't be right now. Adrian is in a very bad place, and I'm not in a much better place. But as soon as anything changes, I'm running for the door. I just admitted that to my dad last night, and now the floodgates are open. I feel like I'm having a hard time shutting them again. Boy, does that feel good. I mean, I know it's just a horrible, horrible thing to admit, and I feel guilty admitting it, but boy, I mean, phew, just a relief to say it out loud again. And they're like, we were just gonna ask you if we could go visit her. And Alice is like, maybe shut the fuck up and don't say that to anybody else.
Yeah, that, if I'm Alice... /Henry, I'm not talking to Ben again. Like, that's horrible.
Yeah. So.
Also, he didn't have to get married.
No.
His father straight up told him and begged him and pleaded with him not to get married. He had every opportunity not to get married. Uh-huh. He forced it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Fucking wild. So, we go to the condo. Betty is visiting with Adrian, and she's like, I just hate to see you like this. And Adrian's like, huh? And Betty's like, you're not Jewish, are you? Like, are all your mirrors covered up? Because you look like shit. Like, you used to be hot, but now you look like a tomato. Or what is it, like a tamale? But not a hot tamale. Nah, that's not right. And it just gets worse. She's like, I think you should go to the gym and get some of those new shoes that can get your butt tight. She's talking about Skechers Shape-Ups.
I was just going to say, that's definitely a Skechers Shape-Up, right?
Yeah.
The ugliest fucking shoes in the world. The things I'll do for a tight ass, let me tell you.
And Betty's like, let's go out on, like, a girl's day. Like, let's go shopping, let's go to the spa, whatever.
Let's get you out of this raggedy bitch-ass clothes and into something nice.
And Adrian's like, I'm in mourning, Betty. Like, Ben doesn't care what I look like. And Betty goes, take it from a former pro, but he does. Insinuating that she has slept with a lot of mourning husbands.
Yes.
Or, like, husbands of mourning wives.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
That's probably a large portion of the clientele in that rich, horrible neighborhood.
Yeah, where, like, the husband is like, oh, my wife's not getting over this fast enough. And she's kind of let herself go because she's sad. So I'm going to go sleep with this person.
That's horrible.
Outside. Yeah.
Whatever. Outside of wedlock and outside of doors because they're fucking in the park.
I mean, to be clear, sex work is okay, but
yes,
if that is something that you consider cheating in your relationship, probably not okay.
Well, if, like, I don't know, maybe the husband's, like, ethically non-monogamous but just hasn't had the conversation with the partner.
I have some experience with that.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. I didn't even think about that. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
I was just thinking of all my time on dating apps lately.
Yeah.
Where it's like, Polly, partner doesn't know. And it's like, what? So cheating, right? Like, that's cheating.
That's wild.
Men on dating apps are all going to hell immediately. There's a reason the Tinder icon is a flame.
So, Betty says that you can mourn and still look good. Just think Jackie Kennedy.
Love that.
Says, what? And Betty goes, she was married to President Kennedy. And Adrian's like, yeah, Betty, I fucking know. I just can't believe you're saying this to me. And Betty's like, well, you're a big hot mess.
Yeah.
You should watch the hit film Jackie starring Natalie Portman.
But to response of big hot mess, Adrian goes, oh, so I'm fat now too? And Betty goes, well, yeah.
It's so unhinged. Also kind of like against what we know of Betty's character, but she does turn it around. But at this point, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
She's like, girl, just smile.
Yeah. Girl, wash your face.
And Adrian smiles. She has something in her teeth. And she smiles again. And Betty's like, see? And then Adrian kind of like laughs and smiles genuinely. And she's like, you're the first person who treated me like I'm not going to break. And Betty says, well, you're already broken. Like, what you went through shatters people. But, like, you have to put the pieces together now. And maybe you have to take a bath.
God, I love Betty.
I know.
I'm so angry that she's almost definitely going to be written off the show within a week or two.
Absolutely. Then Adrian says that she's afraid Ben is going to leave her. And she's like, honestly, I wouldn't blame him. And Betty's like, I would. I'd fucking kill that boy.
Go,
that's
Betty.
That's why she's going to get written off the shows, because she's going to kill Ben and go to prison.
Yeah. And I think that's good.
And she says, when you're married, you're married.
I honestly, I'm not sure divorce exists in this world.
I mean, George is divorced times seven.
I think maybe only men can get divorced.
Maybe. So we go to the guest house. Kathleen walks in to like invite Rachel and Tom to dinner, but Rachel's already making dinner. The kids call her grandma. And they say, we've never had a grandma before. Our other grandma died of being old.
These kids, like, Children of the Corn level shit. Like, scariest. Their names are Ronnie and Bonnie. What the fuck is that? Who does that? If I'm Kathleen, I'm not sleeping a wink until those fuckers are out of my home.
We find out they, like, this is just, like, a weird interaction. Whatever. But they're, like, all settled into this guest house. They're all sleeping in fucking bunk beds, I guess.
That's honestly the ideal.
Kathleen walks back into the Bowman kitchen. Her and Jack are just going to have dinner together, the two of them.
Genuinely, are they going to fuck before the show ends? Like, I need to know if this is being written this way on purpose. Every interaction this episode was so much more chemistry than any of the actual couples.
I'm like,
I genuinely think they might fuck before this is done.
Low key, I'm like, have they already fucked?
Maybe. Well, just like
trying to kill Jeff.
The earlier interaction they had too, when like they were talking about him moving in, like
he put his head right up next to her.
Yeah, he really did the like he and Kathleen were Grace's parents.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, "Oh, you haven't told her yet." Like they're keeping secrets from the rest of the family. Like it's
yeah.
I genuinely think they might fuck. Like, it started as a joke, but now I'm not sure. I'm scared. I'm very scared. He's 18.
Yeah, he is 18. I mean, he does like older women. Remember Duncan's sister?
Oh, God. I don't know if the show remembers Duncan or his sister.
So, Jack, Kathleen starts talking blah 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 about Grant and Grace potentially breaking up, and
Kathleen finally says the thing that's been bothering me, which is, I think you're all a little too serious about each other for high school.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for someone to acknowledge that, so this just felt like a win for me.
Yeah. And Jack is like, well, I wouldn't want to get back together with Grace. And she's like, even if Grace knocked on your door in the middle of the night? And Jack's like, did she say something to you? And Kathleen's like, no. And he's like, well, then no. But it's like, Jack, move the fuck on.
Yeah.
Go for Kathleen instead.
Honestly, like, you're already... I think you have a better chance of getting with Kathleen than with Grace at this point.
Yeah.
At least she's on the same continent.
Yeah. So, we go to Leo and Ben in Ben's room. Ben is, like, relaxing on the bed, and Leo's like, don't get too comfortable. Like, you're not coming back here. And Ben is like, but what if? Like, what if we do break up? What if I make Adrian leave me?
Disgusting. She does not need to deal with this. I'm livid.
Yeah. And Ben, we find out Ben doesn't like Amy living with Ricky.
No shit.
Leo's like, there's literally more than two girls in the universe. And Ben's like, well, I know that, but do you know that? And Leo's like, I'm taken. Blah, blah, blah. We finally get to this talk about Camille.
And Leo's like, oh, you think she likes me, maybe? What's the deal with that?
She's quitting because she is giving up. Like, she's in love with you. You're like, Betty came back. And Leah's like, nah, that's ludicrous. He leaves. And then he, like, peeks his head back in and he's like, you think?
How did they not hook up in all the years before Betty came around?
Who the fuck knows?
Because, again, she didn't exist. She popped into existence and she
spawned.
She did, and everyone didn't realize. It was like a temporal anomaly where they just assumed she was there the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So, then we go into Ricky and Amy in their bedroom. John, we find out, like, Ricky put John down. He's sleeping on a mattress on the floor because he's, like, too big for the baby bed. And Amy's like, well, he can walk right into the kitchen. And he's like, yeah, I know. When we're ready to go to sleep, I'm going to go sleep on the couch to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, because sleeping, you get to keep an eye on. I don't know. Shouldn't they maybe have figured out a sleeping situation before she, like, moved? Also, how was he sleeping there before?
Yeah. I literally don't know. So
it sounds like these, like, I think maybe George has a point. They shouldn't really be doing this.
Yeah, like, what? Yeah. Amy's like, why are you being so nice to me after I lied to you? And he's like, well, I just, like, want to, like, learn to be honest with each other. Like, and, like, I want, you know, you to react the same way when I do something stupid. And she's like, what'd you do? And he's like, nothing. She's like, nothing yet? And he's like, no, nothing, Amy. Like, I swear. But obviously, like, what Ben said about Adrian kind of. But, like, lying about something, like, I would say this is, like, relatively small.
Yeah.
And Ricky was being controlling anyway.
Yeah.
Versus cheating. I would say those are maybe two different categories. Like, obviously cheating is way, 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 like, better than lying about a small thing.
Well, the thing is, all sins are equal in God's eyes.
True. They start making out. She pushes her, like, books off the bed. They're obviously gonna have sex.
Hot.
Yeah. We go back to the Juergens house. Anne comes into the kitchen. She's mad about traffic. And she comes in. The countertops are off of the cabinets. And she gets, like, really emotional because she's like, I asked you not to do this. Like, and George is like, what's the big deal? And she's like, I have really good memories in this kitchen. And he's like, well, it'll still be the same kitchen, just, like, updated. And she's like, well, whatever. Thanks for taking care of Robbie. Goodbye. He says, you don't have to thank me. He's my son, too. That is, you know, a good line, but maybe act like it, George.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's really good for someone who actually, like, does stuff for the child. Yeah. I'm very much Anne in this sort of situation. Like, if anyone ever changed anything without telling me, I would bawl.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm, like, so... Like, if I'm overwhelmed, people are like, oh, like, I'll come help you, like, do your dishes or help you with your laundry or whatever. And I'm like, that's going to stress me out more. I'm just going to do it myself. I didn't want everything to be, like, in its exact place.
Yes.
You know. But, so, they, like, leave, but then she forgets her purse, and he, like, forgot to lock the door, so they meet back in the kitchen. There's, like, the piano music, which, you know, there's, like, something emotional going on. We find out she broke up with the terrorist she was dating, and George is like, why don't you just, like, stay here for a while? You must be hungry. Like, let me make you some food.
And then it just ends out of nowhere.
Will they, won't they, is, you know, supposed to be, like, entertaining.
But the thing is, when it comes to a natural conclusion three times and we're still trying to play this fucking game.
Yeah. So.
This was a wild ending note.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I feel like they really should have switched this in the Amy and Ricky scene.
Yeah.
But whatever. Brenda doesn't take my calls anymore.
But that is season 4, episode 2. Another one opens. Can't wait to watch more of this.
This is taking years off of my life.
Yeah. But this is Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name's Aaron.
My name's Jesse.
You can follow us on Instagram, Patreon, Twitter, and TikTok at Your Two Gay Friends. You can follow Jesse on Twitter at GoJesse2K20. You can follow my bookstagram at No Money, No Prospects. You can send us an email at slwithjesseandaaron@gmail.com. You can send us a voice memo on Anchor. Someone sent us a voice memo and explained the joke about episiotomy. When George does the, like, the biblical thing where he's like, oh, where did you read that? Episiotomy, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
And neither of us realized that episiotomy is when they stitch after giving birth.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they stitch? Thank you.
Hmm?
What do they stitch?
You know.
I genuinely don't.
Oh, between the vagine and the butthole? Because sometimes it be tear. Think it's called...
I don't need to know what it's called, but thank you for clearing that up for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway. So that was helpful, so leave us some more voice memos.
If... people who are smarter than us, you should really be hosting this show. But the thing is, people smarter than us wouldn't host this show is the issue.
Yeah. Subscribe to our Patreon. Literally, if everyone subscribed, it's literally $1 a month. We do make this podcast. I could afford to put it down to get a fucking car. You know, I did get denied a loan, but it's fine.
If every person who listens to this podcast donated just $2 to us, I will post whole on the Patreon. And that's a promise, but it has to be every single person. I don't know why you're laughing. You're going to have to take the picture.
I already got some loaded on my phone.
I'm not flexible enough to do that myself. Back when I was on Grindr, people would be like, send me your hole. And I'm like, bitch, I can't. How? How do you people do this? How flexible are you? What angles are you using?
You can... also, rate and review us on iTunes and Apple Podcasts, and you can rate us on Spotify and share us with your friends. That's it. I hope you have a good day. I hope you don't get the COVID.
Yeah, I hope you have a good day, and I hope you don't get the COVID.
Yeah.
Bye, yeah. Everyone. Bye, everyone.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. This is ableism.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. In my co-op farm, for a while, every night I would go into my friend Allie's house and steal a different piece of furniture and then put it in my house. And she never noticed. Funny. I did it for like... There was almost no furniture left for me to steal. And it was getting increasingly obvious which pieces were being taken.